You know, this month we're dealing with questions that need answering before you die. And we talked about, is heaven real, last week? And then we have today's, is hell a real place? Then next week, did Christ really rise from the dead? And then, is Christ really going to return to the earth one day? And then towards the end of the month, we deal with the subject of, does prayer really make a difference? And today we deal with a sobering subject. You know, many people shun the idea of a literal hell. Some people laugh and they mock and they ridicule any person who would dare to believe and teach in a literal hell. Many pastors, even pastors, just kind of avoid the subject altogether. But it does not change reality. Our denial or our avoidance of a certain subject doesn't make it go away. I mean, for example, a married couple, they can have an issue in their marriage, and just ignoring it doesn't make the issue go away. Right? I mean, our counselor here is here today, right, Jim? Just ignoring it doesn't make it go away. Just avoiding it doesn't make it go away. And in the same way, we can deny hell, we can avoid the subject, but it doesn't make the issue go away. If a person, I'll give you an example. Let's say that a person's been convicted of a crime, a heinous crime, and the judge sentences them to life in prison. That person can say, "Judge, I don't believe in prison. I don't believe that it even exists." I think the judge would chuckle and go, "You believe whatever you want to believe, but you know what? You're going to land there just the same," right? You're going to experience it just the same. And it's the same way with the issue of hell. Someone can say, "Well, I don't believe in hell." Well, but if Jesus is right and you're wrong, it's not going to change reality. But I believe that many believers and many unbelievers are very curious about this subject. The word is used all the time as a cuss word. For the world to not believe in it, they sure use the word a lot, amen? You know, and it's like, what is the Bible? A lot of people use the word, or they hear the word in movies, they hear it all the time, you know, used in daily conversation. But most people that use it or hear it used, they really don't know what the Bible teaches about it, and they really don't know what Jesus Christ said about it. But just like the subject of heaven, when it comes to this subject of hell, the character of our Savior is at stake. Because during his earthly ministry, Jesus talked about hell often. He described it in literal terms. He did not do that to be mean. I want you to understand, Jesus Christ didn't talk about hell to be mean. He didn't do it to be hateful. He did it in order to warn people. And isn't that what love would do? I mean, if someone's heading for a cliff and they're going to go off a cliff and die, I mean, in love, wouldn't you want to warn them? Wouldn't love lead you to warn them that, hey, you're going off a cliff and you're going to try to do everything you can to help them, right? And to try to avoid that. And Jesus was the same way. If a child is going to touch a hot stove, it's not hateful to tell the child what's going to happen if they touch the stove. It's not hateful to try to keep them from touching it. And in the same way, Jesus Christ talked about hell, not to be mean, not to be hateful, not to be spiteful, but that's what love would do, is to warn people. And like we said last week, you know, you cannot believe that Jesus was a good man or a good teacher and then refuse to believe that hell exists. Those two views are not compatible. If hell is not real, then Jesus was a phony and he was a liar. Okay, nothing he said, nothing he did really matters. The truthfulness of our Savior is at stake. So you cannot say, well, I don't believe in hell, but I believe Jesus was a good man and a good teacher. No, those two views are not logically compatible. It would be like this. Let's say, for example, that I described for you a dog that I owned. And I told you the name of the dog, and I told you what kind of dog he was. And I told you about different spots that are on his body. I told you about his tail, and I described his face. And I described his doghouse. I described the toys that he likes to play with, the different tricks that we've taught him. And I tell you all about this dog. And 2 weeks later, you find out Pastor Dan doesn't have a dog. And he's never had a dog. And yet he described it in detail to me. Let me ask you something. What would you think about me? Go ahead. You can be honest. What would you think about me? Cuckoo. Yeah, you're like, man, you know, I need to get on Amazon and I need to get a straitjacket ordered right away for Brother Dan, right? And get it 2-day prime here. Get it here quick. He's crazy. He's nuts. He described a dog that didn't exist just like it was real. Well, Jesus described hell that way. So if it's not real, he couldn't have been a good teacher, and he couldn't have been a good prophet, and he couldn't have been a good man. No. Just like Jesus taught that there was a place of eternal bliss called heaven, we talked about that last week, he also taught that there is a place of eternal punishment called hell. Now, what exactly did Jesus teach about this subject? And that's what's important. Because really, if you line up 100 people and you ask them out there on the street, hey, what do you think hell is? You're going to probably get 100 different answers. So the really important issue is, what did Jesus say about it? In fact, somebody actually did that. They did a man on the street type interview and asked people, hey, what do you think hell is? And it's real quick. I just want to show you a quick clip. Watch this. What do you think hell is?
What do you think about hell? What's it like?
I ain't never been, so I really can't tell you.
I really don't know off the top of my head. That's one that you got to think.
One thing I can say is it ain't no fun out there from what the good books say.
Something that we'll never know until you get there, I guess.
Eternal damnation, fire, it ain't nothing good.
It's just one of those things that humans just have to fear. It's your greatest fears, really.
Biblically, it's separation from God.
I think if you take the absolute worst thing you've ever experienced on Earth and multiply it by about an infinite amount of times, I think that's what hell's going to be like.
In the pop culture, I guess it's being thrown in the lake of fire and burning over and over.
It's very hot. Not pleasurable. It's very unpleasant. Not a place I'd want to be.
It's whatever is going to be miserable for you. It changes. It's more of a state of mind than an actual place that you can see. It evolves.
I think the worst thing about hell is that it's going to be ongoing forever.
I think it's beyond our wildest fears.
You want to die, but you are not able to die, or you want to... Like, it's like... You are in a between state, like you are totally suffering, and it's like a wound that never heals, like, it's like that.
It's pretty much the opposite of heaven. Heaven's our wildest imagination, hell is our wildest fears.
What do you think hell is? Well, you know, the question here that we need to answer is going to be found through Jesus' own lips. And every verse I'm going to share with you today is actually going to be Jesus Christ himself talking. And so I want to give you four things that Jesus taught about hell. Number one is this. Jesus taught that hell is a literal place. Hell is a literal place. Now, you heard the one guy up there share that he thought hell was more symbolic. Some people believe that. They think that they believe in hell as an idea or as a concept. They believe that hell is figurative. They think that it describes a non-pleasant environment or a non-pleasant set of circumstances. You hear people use the word that way. They'll say, man, I had a meeting with my boss this week and it was boom, right? And you hear him use it that way. Jesus Christ did not use the word that way. He described it as a literal place. Now, this is where I want you to take your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, grab the one under the chair that you got. We got Bibles under the chairs. And the page number is 1002. I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10, actually. Just go back to Matthew chapter 10. If you go to page 1002 in your church Bible, that will take you to Matthew chapter number 10. All right, go to Matthew 10, and I want to look at several verses of Jesus speaking. Matthew 10, 28. It says, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body," where? In hell. Go to chapter 11, and please look at, chapter 11, verse 23. 11, 23. Jesus said, "And thou Capernaum," that's a city, all right? "Thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven," they were puffed up with pride. He said, "You shall be brought down to," where, church? "To hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Go to chapter 13, chapter 13. And I hope you'll grab a Bible if you don't have one, because I really want you to see it. Again, Jesus speaking, verse 49. Jesus said, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? They said unto him, Yea, Lord." Go over to chapter 23 now. Chapter 23. By the way, this is just a sampling. We could stay here all morning probably looking at verses, but I'm just giving you a sampling of the words of Jesus. Matthew 23, verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," Jesus said, "for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte." That means a follower of them. He says, so you go around trying to make followers of yourself, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. There are others that teach that hell is not a literal place. They teach, rather, it's a reference to the grave. They say hell is the grave. You die, and you go to the grave, and the grave is hell. Jesus Christ did not teach it this way. And as proof, I want to bring up on the screen, if you want to write this in your handout, you can to look up later, Luke 12, 4 and 5. And notice how that makes no logical sense if hell is the grave. It makes no logical sense according to this passage. Look at it with me. It says, Jesus said, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them which kill the body." And after that, he says, they have no more they can do. He says, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed," after he's killed your body, "he has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Well, now, if I try to read the word grave in for hell right there, you understand that makes no sense at all. Fear him which after he's killed your body has power to cast your body into a grave. Yea, I say fear him. Why would I, if once I'm dead, why do I care if someone throws me into a grave? I mean, I'd kind of appreciate it if they would. Amen? I mean, when I die, I kind of like it if my wife would throw me in a grave. I kind of hope she doesn't leave me on a concrete slab in the backyard. Amen? So, you know, that makes no sense. Fear him which can kill your body and then throw you in a grave. I mean, that makes no sense. So hell, Jesus taught, is a literal place. Number two, let me give you the second thing in your handout. Jesus taught that hell was created for the devil. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to get into a little bit of some heavy teaching right here that you're going to have to, like Clayton prayed, you're going to have to really pray, God, don't let me get distracted. I'm going to share with you the whole reasoning behind hell, why it was created in the first place. If you stay with me, I believe you're going to see it very clearly, because some people are like, why would God even create a place like that? Well, let me share with you the background here, and then we're going to look at a verse where Jesus clearly teaches us why hell was created. The devil, Satan, was once a chief angelic type of being. All the other angels were under him. He was more beautiful than any other angelic creature. He had more power than any other angelic creature. The Bible says that he got filled with pride. He got full of himself. And he got prideful, and he wanted to be like the Most High God. Now, Satan's not stupid, okay? He knew that he could not be God. And that's why the wording is he wanted to be like the Most High God. In other words, he wanted the power. He wanted control. When he rebelled against God, when he made a choice of his own will to rebel against God, he devised a plan of evil. He promoted that plan, the Bible says. And I've got a whole series online on this, okay? But I'm giving you the quick version. He promoted his plan of evil to the angelic hosts that were functioning under him. Satan thought he was the most equipped to govern the earth. I don't believe he liked it at all that God created Adam and mankind to govern the earth. He thought he was best equipped to do that. Many of the angels followed his plan of evil. They made a choice to follow him, believing in his plan. I mean, he merchandised it cleverly, and they believed in him, and they were going to follow him. Now, boom, you've got sin in the universe. The creation of God that had been very good has now been corrupted by sin. God's perfect universe now has sin enter into it. We know as Christians that God as a holy God cannot allow sin to dwell in his presence, and God cannot commune with sin. He's holy. So God had to now create a punishment. He had to create a place of punishment for these sinful angelic beings that have now chose to rebel against God. Now, the place of punishment that God would create would typify, it would be appropriate for their choice to follow Satan and basically be alienated from God. This place of alienation, this place of punishment that God created was the place called hell. In your Bible, go to Matthew 25, and I'm going to show you what Jesus said about the creation of hell. Matthew 25, 41. And again, Jesus is speaking, so make sure you look at this in your Bible. Matthew 25, 41. Jesus is speaking about Judgment Day. And he says, "Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Notice, church, that God did not initially intend for people to go to hell. He did not intend for people to go there. This was created as a place of punishment for these angelic beings that chose to follow Satan. There had to be a place where they would be alienated from God. They can't dwell in God's presence and have sin in God's presence. So God creates this place of alienation, this place of punishment. But he didn't intend for people to go there. But when mankind joined in on Satan's rebellion, sin entered the human race and on earth, as it did the heavenly angelic host. Now hell becomes a real possibility for mankind. And it's a natural result. If you make a choice, think about it. Stay with me now. If you make a choice to not follow God, and you make a choice to follow Satan's plan of evil, then logically you are going to follow him all the way through, straight through to his future destination. People ask this question, why would a loving God send somebody to hell? And that's a good question. Nothing wrong with that question. That's a fair, honest question. Why would a loving God send somebody to hell? Good question. And I think that you're going to see that the answer is really, really pretty obvious. And here it is. You are not just one-dimensional. There's not just one thing about that you don't have just one character trait. You have multiple. In the same way, God is love, but he's not one-dimensional. God has many different facets to his character. For example, yes, God is love, but God is also just. He's fair. God is also holy. God is also righteous. There are many different facets to the character of God. He's not just love. He's not just this one-dimensional person, no more than you are. He's not just love. No, he's many other things. He's just, he's righteous, he's holy. And every single person is given a free will to make choices. God's not in the robot business. He's not programming people on what to do. God has offered heaven as a free gift through his son. But if people reject that gift, they choose their own eternal destiny. It isn't a matter of God sending someone there. They're making that choice based on who they follow, who they make a choice to follow. It's kind of like this as an illustration. Stay with me for a minute. Let's say that you come to me and you say, Pastor Dan, I cannot pay my electric bill and they are going to turn my electric off tonight. And I say to you, you know what, friend? I don't want you to be in darkness. I want you to be able to have light. And so I am going to, Denise and I, we are giving you the money to pay your electric bill as a gift. Here you go. And I go to hand it to you and you go, no, I'm not taking that. I don't want your gift. No, I'll do it my way and I don't want your gift. Well, you know what? You can turn away my gift, but what are you going to be dwelling in your house that night? Darkness. You're going to be in a place of darkness by your own choice, because a free gift was made possible to you. A way out was made. A free gift was offered to you so that you could be in a place of light. But you chose to refuse the gift and to dwell in darkness. Everybody has a free will to make choices. In your handout, it says that hell demonstrates the wrath of God towards sin. Hell demonstrates the wrath of God towards sin. And this is why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Listen, if there is no punishment for sin, now follow me, follow this. If there is absolutely no punishment at all for sin, then why in the world would Christ need to come and do that? Why would Christ need to die on the cross if there's no punishment for sin? The fact that God's Son did die, and we sung about it, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross reveals to us and shows to us, yes, there is punishment for sin. And when Jesus Christ, listen, when he hung on that cross, he never had sinned. He was bearing our wrath that we would have to bear in hell. He was literally taking our hell for us on that cross. He was bearing our wrath. He was bearing the judgment that we would have had to incur from God. In fact, he even took our alienation that we would have suffered from God in hell, being alienated from his presence. He took that for us on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was all alone on that cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, the Bible says. And there he was dying for us. He was dying in our place. He was taking the wrath of God against sin. He was taking the judgment of God against sin. He was taking the alienation that you and I would have had to have suffered, and he was bearing that for us on the cross. And when we understand the wrath of God against sin, and when we understand the undeniable reality that there is a place of punishment for sin, what it does is it magnifies grace. It causes people to appreciate God's offer of grace and God's offer of forgiveness, and that there is a place of light that we can be if we choose that place, if we choose to take the gift that God offers. You know, yes, listen, yes, God, hell is real. And yes, hell demonstrates the wrath of God against sin. But I want you to see the other side of that thing today. I want you to see his love. I want you to see his concern for mankind. I want you to see, church, that's why God came to the earth. God took on flesh and blood in the personage of Jesus Christ, because only someone with flesh and blood can die. And God came and was incarnate. He came to this earth, took on our flesh and blood, so that he could in turn die for us in our place. Take the wrath, take the judgment, take the alienation for us on that cross. And I want you to see that. Hell was originally created for the devil and his angels. And when mankind chose to rebel against God too and to follow Satan, they're going to logically follow him to that place unless they turn from that and take God's gift of eternal life. Let me share with you the third thing. The third principle that Jesus taught is that hell is a place of punishment. Hell is a place of punishment. Hell was created to serve as a deterrent to any of those other angels who would follow Satan's destructive plan of evil and his rebellion against God. And that's why Jesus was very straightforward. He was very honest about hell. In fact, take your Bible. Go back to Matthew 13. Stay in the same book. Go back to chapter 13. Jesus was very honest. He was very straightforward about it. He described it in detail. Look at Matthew 13, verse 41. It says that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. They chose light. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Mark, Jesus gave this illustration. He said, it would be better for you to go into life, into my kingdom. It'd be better for you to go in with one hand and be maimed, than it would be for you to have two hands and, quote, go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's a direct quote from Jesus Christ. There is not one word about hell that would ever make a person want to go there. Jesus described it as continual. He compared it to continual smoldering fires. He compared it to prison. He compared it to outer darkness. Punishment is to serve as a deterrent to wrongdoing. For example, as imperfect as our government is, thank God that our government punishes murderers. They don't do that to be mean. If you murder somebody, you're either going to go life in prison or you are going to forfeit your life, depending on what state you live in. They don't do that to be mean and hateful. They do that in order to serve as a deterrent to people going around murdering people. Imagine if there was absolutely no punishment for murder. There was none. Imagine what kind of society we would live in. You talk about road rage. I mean, somebody thinks you cut them off, and they come up to the light next to you and go, "You cut me off!" You know, "What, you're firing me from my job?" Imagine if there was no deterrent to murder at all. There was no punishment for it. You know, it's like, "You took my parking space." I mean, imagine that. Satan's plan of evil is so deceptive, and he makes it look so pleasing, that were it not for the fact that people knew they had to face God one day, and that one day they would be punished, everybody would follow Satan and end up being destroyed. And God doesn't want that. Let me give you the last thing, number four. Jesus taught that hell is eternal. There's some phrases that he uses to describe hell. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. All right, turn back over there. Matthew 25. We read this earlier, but I want to bring out another verse too. Matthew 25:41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into what kind of fire?" Verse 41. He says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into what kind of fire? Everlasting, prepared for the devil and his angels." Look at verse 46. "And these shall go away into" what kind of punishment? "Everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Hey, church, how long is everlasting? It's forever. Those aren't my words. Jesus used the term everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, Mark 3:29, eternal damnation. Those are his words. In your handout, Paul called it everlasting destruction. Look in your handout, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." As we have seen today in God's word, hell is a literal place. It's as literal as heaven. And we can't bury our heads in the sand and act like it doesn't exist. Now listen, it's a free country. So you can say, "You know what? I don't believe in hell." But again, not believing in something doesn't change reality. Okay? So follow this. Follow me now. I'm almost done. If you don't believe the testimony of God's word and you say, "I don't believe in hell," you are forced to wrestle with some other facts. It is not as easy as saying, "Well, I don't believe in hell," and then think, "Well, done with that issue." It's not that easy. Don't be naive and think it's that easy. Because you have to face some facts. Jesus Christ taught that there was such a place. So if you say, "I don't believe in hell," then you have to wrestle with the issue of, well, then what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to believe about Jesus? Was he a liar and a phony? Because that's pretty much where you got to go. If you say hell isn't real, and he's talking about it over and over again, then you've got to land there. That's right. I think Jesus was a liar and a phony too. Well, okay, if you're going to go there, then you got to wrestle with the question next week. What about the empty tomb? Because that is a historical fact and reality. So it is. So then you got to wrestle with, well, then what does that mean? What are you going to do with the empty tomb? So you see, there's a trickle down here that you're going to have to deal with if you really care about dealing with it. And the other thing that you have to wrestle with is this. You have to face the fact that you really will not know for sure until you die. Amen? And at that point, it's too late to do anything about it. So it's a really, really good idea to think about things while you still have time to think about them. Can I get an amen? It's a really good idea. That's just a good principle of life. It's a really, like, you know, it's just a good idea to think about things while you got time to think about it. While you got time to do something about it. There was a man that Jesus described as a rich man. He died, and the Bible says he went to hell. And what he found out is that there's no exit door in hell. There's no escaping out of hell. There is an escape before you die. God's made a way of escape through his son and what he did for you on the cross. But once you're there, there's no exit door. And the man that was in hell actually made this statement. He said, "Will you please go and warn my family, because I don't want them to have to come here. Please go tell my family about this." So it's a good idea to think about things while you have time to think about them. And I just want to say this. If you're here today and you say, "I don't believe in hell," that's fine. But what I would encourage you to do is to truly think that thing through. Think it through logically. Think about the ramifications of that. And make sure that you are very sure why you believe that there is not one. Because you're basically saying, "No, I don't believe there is a place of punishment for sin. Do whatever you want, because there'll be no accountability. There's no accountability for Satan, for his angels, for people who follow Satan. There's no accountability for that. There's not a place of punishment for that. And I believe Jesus was a phony and a liar." Well, you just need to figure that out and make sure that you really want to go there with that. Because in your handout, it says this. It says, "Who you follow determines where you end up." Who you follow determines where you end up. If Matt Conrad over there, if Matt Conrad said, "I'm going to Ritter's Ice Cream," and I say, "Matt, I'm following you in my car, you go in your car, and I'm going to follow you." If I say I'm going to follow Matt, and I do follow Matt, and if Matt Conrad goes to Ritter's Ice Cream and I follow him, where am I going to end up? Eternal bliss. Amen? Well, temporary bliss. I'm going to end up at Ritter's because I followed him, and he was going to Ritter's. If Rod, my buddy over here, if Rod says, "You know what?" He says, "I'm going to go in my car down to the beach, and I'm going to find me one of those ramps that take you out onto the beach, and I'm going to drive my car right out into the ocean." And I say, "Rod, I'm following you, buddy." If I follow Rod, where am I going to end up? In the ocean. Right. Who you follow determines where you end up. Are y'all with me? Say amen. If you choose to follow Satan's path of rebellion, if you choose that, you follow Satan, you're going to end up where he ends up. That's my illustration there. You follow Satan, you're going to end up where he ends up. That's just logical. And God loves you enough to tell you exactly where you will end up. God's not obscured it. He's not made it hard to understand. God in his love laid it out where that place of punishment is, where Satan's going. So he's like, "Okay, you want to follow him? This is where he's going. You really want to do that? Okay, you want to be alienated from me? You don't want to be with me," God says. "All right, that's fine. But this is where he's going. This is where the path leads." God in his love has made a way out for every person on earth. And in your handout, it says he sent his only begotten son that we might have life eternal. Look at that on the screen. Isn't that beautiful? He sent his only begotten son that we might have life eternal. Look over here, church. Jesus suffered our eternal judgment on the cross. He suffered that on the cross, and the debt, your sin debt, has been paid. Now God offers you the gift of eternal life. Have you accepted it? Have you received it? I got to tell you this, if you're not sure, I wouldn't want to go to bed tonight until I got that settled. Can I share with you one more thing? Listen. Listen to this beautiful, 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 beautiful statement. Jesus talked about hell because he loved people. He wanted them to know, this is where Satan's going. Is that really where you want to go? Jesus laid it right out there. He didn't pull any punches. But you know what he said? I love this. He said, if you believe on me, he said, you will not come into judgment, but you are passed from death unto life.